Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my reliable... Wait, they were wearing costumes? Frank, how are you today?
I'm good, buddy. But hey, you said two geeks, but I see a third.
I did. It's because my gallery view still isn't working correctly. So
Zoom will do that.
Frank, we have with us the one, the only Vector from the Vectorverse. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Look, up in the sky, it's Tim and Frank, the podcasting duo. Yeah, and me.
Yeah, how did we get up there? No, wait, no. I can't fly.
I love talking to my favorite geeks. I love it so much that I forgot to bring my root beer. That's how much I love it, boys.
That's okay, my man. I'm drinking tea, so it doesn't really matter. I know. My throat is a little scratchy. It's just a little scratchy.
No.
You know, 'tis the pollen season around here, so I'm drinking a little throat comfort tea from Yogi Tea.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I do too, and so does my throat. So that's okay. We got to do what we got to do. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. You don't get these dulcet tones without drinking some Yogi tea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to work for it. You know, it doesn't just come for free.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Got to take care of those pipes. Got to take care of that instrument.
Yeah.
I am not taking care of my instrument. I am here to drink beer, and talk about geeky stuff. I am drinking a Yellow Llama Lager.
Whoa.
I've never heard of this before. I just saw it at my grocery store, and it was too interesting looking to not pick up.
Wow.
It is a, and this is actually my first time trying it, but it is a lager. What do you have to do to join the Yellow Llama herd? Just cheers the person next to you. Llamas are social creatures. They adopt other animals into their own herd. Do you have what it takes? Embody the spirit of llamas and take a sip of a mountain of possibilities.
Ooh. Whoa.
And the can shows a mountain with in the background with a llama in the foreground.
So what you're saying is that you, as the llama, have adopted Factor into the Beer with Geeks llama herd.
Yeah. He is now part of the tribe.
Yeah.
Llama llama, yellow pajama. I love it.
Ah, yes. We read that one in my house, too.
Excellent. Yeah. Very, very good. Listen, there are two things that I want Frank and I usually only do one topic, but since there are two topics, we have three people. So it is excellent. So what I really would like to talk about first and foremost is the first publicity still of David Corn Sweat.
I believe that you were right the first time.
Corn Sweat. How unfortunate for him.
I'm pronouncing it that way until I hear otherwise.
Right.
You know, like if he says it otherwise,
right. It's like we all said Gal Gadot until she was like, "No, it's Gal Gadot," and you're like, "Oh dear, I've been so wrong. I am so sorry." So this first image of him as Superman suiting up as the world seems to be in trouble from another light in the sky, this time pointing down towards Earth instead of up into the sky. So, you know, it's different. It's different. You know, they went in a different direction. As they went in a different direction with this photo, and I'm going to be super blunt here. Costumes are just okay. Something I don't say very often.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's just okay.
Just okay.
All right. I'm going to start with the, I'll start with the things I like, and I'll move into the things that I don't like and the photo, and then we can all go around. I do like the coloring of his boots and the blue, right? So like up top, he's clearly a little battle damaged. He's a little smushed. He's a little, smeared, I guess. Smutzed. So that's okay. That's fine.
Schmarf.
But I do like the kind of like regalness of the velvet cape. I like the red of the boots, and I like the unstained blue. So that's all good. I like how large the S is on his chest. I do think that it does look like an S. It doesn't necessarily, like, yes, it is the Kingdom Come S technically, but there is something about it where, like, you can definitely see the S as opposed to the Kingdom Come. Like, it's just a line. And so maybe it's because the border is a little larger on top, and so it does feel like an S. There are trunks if you zoom in on his crotch, you know, as I'm sure many people did. So good for him just accepting that as part of his life now. And so that's great. That's all fine. I don't love the new 52-ness of the rest of it. I don't like the high collar. I don't like the arbitrary lines running down his suit. I don't have a problem with lines necessarily. That's fine. It does something to the, you know what I mean? Something visually interesting to look at on camera, whatever else. But it's the high collar. High collars are lean towards militaristic or characters that have masks. And so we need the high collar to balance the look of the mask. So their head like is kind of like flush or the kind of the parallel to their neck. So everything looks okay. That's why like Michael Keaton's Batman cowl, he couldn't move his neck because you needed it to slope down. So he didn't look like a child wearing a giant bicycle helmet.
Sure.
And so I just don't really understand what the purpose of having the high collar is here in its purpose as a costume decision. As a photo decision, why is he sad Superman? He's got like this like, ugh, here I am suiting up one more time because there's another light beam in the sky that I got to go do. And I just like, that is not the tone that James Gunn has talked about at all, right, from the start of him saying like I'm gonna do Superman all the way until now. So like I don't think it's the tone of the movie, but it's just a really weird choice to make that you're like,
yeah,
our Superman's gonna be filled with hope and optimism, sad Superman. Like, okay, you've made some choices and I don't really understand what and I don't understand what they are. Even just as far as like publicity goes, like he's lit oddly, like you don't get a full look at the suit. There are creases into like in him like moving and putting things on. It's just like a really like if you look at like where the cape is stuffed into the suit at top, you can see where it kind of folds and bends and how hot it clearly is. You don't get a good look at his face really. So I don't know. Like I was very excited for this movie and now I'm like, all right, I'll see it.
Oh, wow. No.
Like, I mean, obviously, I'm still excited, but you know what I mean? But it's like a little, like, it did diminish a little bit. I was like, well.
That is just how much Tim needs costumes to be good.
But they really do need to be good.
And that is why he will enjoy a bad movie if the costumes are good.
If
it's a good movie and the costumes are bad, he won't enjoy it. We'll see.
Wow. No, I get over it if I don't love the costumes. Like, Captain America in Avengers is a great example of that. It's not a great costume when he puts on the helmet, when he puts on the mask. Besides that, it's fine. I like it. But when he puts on the mask, it's terrible. It doesn't really dampen my opinion of the movie. But like when you look at him every time, you go, that was a choice that you made.
Yeah.
And every time.
And I think it's going to be interesting to see how are we going to see it in the movie versus this promotional shot. Mm-hmm. Because in our group chat, we kind of talked about who had the best first promotional shot, and you put yourself in the time and place of each one of those, mm-hmm. and then how did the movie turn out? How did you feel for the movie? And this right here, like Tim, it doesn't dampen my spirits. I'm kind of thinking, I'm almost ignoring this
sure.
press photo. and just going off of James Gunn, previous material that he's written, what he's said about the tone, all of those things are still have me hyped up for it. This image by itself, I would say, is not getting me hyped up for the movie, is not getting me excited. But all of those, like I said, all those other things are. But what's interesting to me about this is everything that Tim mentioned, the mixture of the New 52, the darkness, the creases, all of those things adding up and saying, this is the first look. Like, let's say this is somebody's first Superman, and mm-hmm. this is the first thing that you're giving them. This does not inspire hope to me. Nope. And kind of a weird, like, the very first thing that you said to us, Tim, was, this is not Photoshop. This is real. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a huge indicator. Like, we should not have to have cliff notes. Like, you should just stand on your own
right.
and say, hey, this is the official press. Because it wasn't like that with Christopher Reeve. It wasn't like that with Henry Cavill. Like, we knew those were official shots. Brandon Routh, the same. This one, it did to me, for a second, I thought it was somebody's cosplay. I thought it was somebody's Photoshop. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like it's from the movie. Like, this does not look like a shot from the movie, first of all. And all of the memes that have come out with people replacing the background with Smallville and all these things, those have been more entertaining to me than the actual shot of the press shot itself.
Yep.
So I'm with Tim, but I'm against Tim because I'm still Ooh. Rooting for it. I'm still hoping.
And I'm still rooting for it. Like, I want it to be good. I'm not signing it off.
I'm still hyped for it, I should
but,
say.
But, yeah, I think it does help me in, I guess, like, level my expectation for the movie. You know, maybe I was getting a little too big, and I'm like, all right, well, I don't love what I'm seeing. And that includes, like, the shot composition and things like that. Like, it's just, like, it's not.
It's weird.
Great. Yeah.
It's very weird. Frank, I wanted to ask you specifically because I don't know a single Superman fan. Maybe I just don't know a lot of Superman fans. I don't know a single one that likes the color of the New 52. And that was one of the things that I did from the start. When the New 52 came out, number one, I love Jim Lee. I love his designs. Did not like the color. Did not like that he lost the red briefs. But what are your thoughts on the collar? Because that's the thing that throws me off the most.
Yeah, I never really care for the high collar in general. I didn't like it in the 52. But here's the thing. Well, first of all, I kind of see this as there's two different questions here. There is how do you like the costume and then how do you like the photo? Mm. I like the costume more than I like the photo. The photo, I agree with both of you, like, doesn't inspire her. Like, when you look at it at first glance, it does not make you feel like, oh, okay, this is a much lighter tone. It's uplifting. It's meant to be more optimistic. It doesn't give you that feeling right off the bat. And I also thought, like, is this AI? Is it fan art? Because I've seen really good fan art, you know, that would make you wonder, make you question. So my first thought was, this looks like it could go either way. So, yeah, I agree. I agree that, like, I wish it were the kind of thing where you'd look at it and be like, yes, this is it. But setting that aside for a second, the costume itself, I'm actually not against it. Like, here, the boots are perfect. Like, yeah, the boots are absolutely perfect. Wouldn't change a thing. I love that there's the briefs. I love that I can see a hint of a yellow belt. That excites me. Possibly with red belt loops, hard to tell. I wonder if there's a belt buckle, you know, an S belt buckle. I don't know. The sort of Kingdom Come-esque shield works for me more than I expected it to. And the high collar and the cape coming over the shoulders are neither of those are my favorite. But like I can look past it if it's, you know, if the movie's good and if he's good as the character. The arbitrary lines, Tim, I agree with you. I don't really care for them, but like I'm used to it at this point because like we've seen it so much in the last 10-15 years that it's just sort of like, yeah, sure, we're doing that. Why, whatever. I wish they wouldn't, but sure, whatever. So the costume itself, I don't take so much issue with. The image, I'm like, It is. Yeah, that's a choice. Like, what an interesting choice to for James Gunn to talk about the tone of the movie being one thing, and to even say, like, it's not even Superman Legacy anymore. It's just Superman, because we never had a movie just called Superman. So to be like, this is going to be a movie just called Superman, sort of needs to deliver on that. It needs to be like the embodiment of Superman, right? Mm-hmm. So I hope that the photo is not an indication of the tone of the movie. I don't think it will be. I don't think that, you know, the first promo shot of Man of Steel, it was him in front of that like bank vault, right?
Yep.
Like, that, you know, had nothing to do with the plot of the film. Had nothing to do with
actually. Actually, that's not entirely true. He gets thrown into a bank in the Battle of Smallville.
True, you're right. He does.
And
you're
so
right,
that's actually that's like, right. I think they took it because they were filming outside and they didn't want people to see. So they just like, here he is. And so that actually does kind of have to do with the tone of the film.
You're right.
Look, destruction.
Right. I forgot that. I take it back.
I also forgot that.
Yeah. But I guess what I mean to say is just a promo still doesn't necessarily indicate something that's happening in the movie.
Yeah.
Now, the thing in the sky, that actually has me intrigued.
Because it's bright and colorful?
No. So was Electro in Amazing Spider-Man 2, but that didn't...
Good point. He did look good, though. So, yeah.
Sure. Mm. The costumes were great. But I think...
Actually,
by the way, I've already decided that the narrative already is Tim doesn't like the new Superman movie because he doesn't like the costumes. That's already the narrative. No matter what, even if you love the movie, the narrative has been decided.
Oh no,
the narrative has been decided. But I'm looking at that. You know, it's purple and it's greenish, right? So like those are Brainiac colors. Those are Lex colors. You know, I wonder if that means anything. Just the fact of there being something in the sky. Do the words panic in the sky mean anything to either of you?
Chicken Little.
Okay. So Panic in the Sky was first an episode of the George Reeves Adventures of Superman series, where very briefly the plot is like there's an asteroid coming towards Earth. He knocks it off its course. Superman does, but it's made of kryptonite and he loses his memory. And the rest of the episode is him remembering that he's Superman and coming back to being himself. It's considered like one of the classic episodes of that show.
What a great
so much
setup.
So it's great. It's a good one. It's a good one. I don't normally love amnesia plots, but this is like, it's such an early example of it that it's like a proto version of that. There is an early 90s comic run called Panic in the Sky that is really doesn't really use the same plot, but involves things coming from space and Brainiac and Kryptonians and stuff. There was an episode of Lois and Clark that is a like 90s remake of the Panic in the Sky episode. And it's one of my favorite episodes of that show. So Panic in the Sky was that one episode, and it was such a beloved thing by so many fans over the generations that it's been sort of remade and reused. This image, I'm going on nothing but the fact that there's a thing in the sky, right? But this image makes me wonder, ooh, could we be borrowing from that a little bit? Could we be using some of that? Maybe the reason that he's putting on the suit while stuff's already happening is because he's just gotten his memory back and is about to go back out there and fight. I don't know. I do notice that there is something smeared on the S, right? It's dirty. So clearly he's been out there. The suit is not clean. It's not like he's going out there for the first time. So I don't know, you know, what it means that he's just suiting up here, but maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know what explanation to look for, but I guess what I'm saying is there could be more to it than we understand.
But
just even if that is the case, that doesn't make it a good promo image. In fact, it kind of makes it a poor choice of promo image if you need backstory. Like you were saying, Vector, like it should just pop. And I should feel like, yes, that's it. Like, I should know it's a real image, and I shouldn't have to wonder why that. So I'm not...
And I think... That's what the Brandon Routh image was. As soon as you saw it, you knew that was, okay, that's the new Superman. This is, like, it's popping off the page. It's something that we know, okay, this is what we have to expect. And that one really felt like the last hopeful one to me, to the point where I felt like, oh, man. Obviously, that was a different time period of Superman being not the Zack Snyder, 10 years of Zack Snyder that we've had. And this, I wanted this to give me that same feeling. I wanted this to, these colors to not be muted. I wanted it to be bright, because this feels too Snydery to me. This feels too Man of Steel to me.
I think that's part of the, I think that's part of the issue complete is like they've talked about like wanting to separate themselves out from this era, this dark era, so much. So the first, and the first photo you show of us of like what will be kind of the tone of your film is sadness.
Well, I'll also say this. Look at the blue on his legs and the red on his boots, right?
I agree.
And then and then when you compare it to the blue up top looks muted because it's got dirt on it.
Great. I agree.
So I think if that blue down near the bottom is the color of the suit, that's not super. It's a little muted. It's a little muted, but it's not. It's not like it wouldn't upset me. That's a perfectly fine shade of blue for Superman. My book,
I wouldn't even count this as muted. Like because I'd say like it veers close to the Superman Returns blue, but the red pops far more than the maroon of that suit.
Yeah.
And so I agree that the suit is dirty up top. It's more about David Corenswet's actual tone. Like he's kind of slumped. He's looking down to the side. That like if I was studying a piece like an art piece, I would be like, well, this man is filled with self-doubt, or maybe he's filled with some kind of resolve, but he's clearly not in any kind of hurry. Like these are the kind of things that I would say if I was looking at this as a piece of art. Like, and that would be juxtaposed to like the clear destruction that's happening behind him. And so it just doesn't, none of that flies from like my art brain. I will say to your point, the pinkish purple and green, Brainiac, Luther, Sun Eater, you know, like all these different things that are getting flown around out there. That coloring also to me indicates kind of the tone of the film. And so I just don't think so. Like his like legs and boots, cape, and that don't match his posture or lighting up top. And that's what bothers me about the photo. Mm-hmm.
And also to me, this feels like somebody who is not super powered. Like the way he's putting on his boots, the way that like you said, the posture. To me, I'm thinking about, again, like Frank said, this could be halfway through the battle or close to the end. We don't know exactly where this might come in the movie, but for us as the first image, the first full image, because we saw the close-up of the S, but as the first image of the full suit, we're expecting it to be Christopher Reeve. We're expecting it to be Brandon Routh. We're expecting it to be just the Superman, like the 100% powered Superman. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he looks like he's taking his time. He looks like he's putting on one boot. And for us, thinking of Superman at all of his strength, we wouldn't have seen him put on his suit. It would have just been on. He would have used his super speed. He would have just been Superman. He would have been full suited. And so this makes me feel like almost he lost his powers at some point, or he's low power level. And he's just like, man, I got to go back to work. Like Tim said, I'm dreading going back out there again. But it's just a very interesting choice to me. I was going to say real quick, the S, it's very also similar to my adventures with Superman. The way that the S's now are more like Kryptonian symbols than actual S's anymore, I find that interesting, just the change in the evolution of Superman, and the Superman and Lois is more like the, I think, more traditional S that we're thinking of as a letter. But I'm old school. I like my Christopher Reeve Superman suit. I like the bright colors. I like the full S. And this to me feels like New 52 mashed up with Man of Steel. That's what it feels like to me.
It could be a part of him that they're trying to, like, it could be that, like, trying to please an audience that have come before. And we know that that never works. So I'm really not sure if that is a, you know, like, a good idea if that is, in fact, what they're doing.
Right.
You know. It took the words out of my mouth, Tim. I was thinking, you know, yes, James Gunn shared it on his Instagram and everything, but this was made by probably by the Warner Brothers, you know, marketing department, right? And people at Warner Brothers might have, on a corporate level, might have different thoughts about how they want to market this movie than James Gunn has been talking about it. Maybe they're afraid that, oh, if we make it sound too goody two shoes, no one's going to come and watch it. So let's make it look like, it's still dark. And there's, you know, there could be some of that going on. And for exactly the reasons you say, to try to please an audience that, okay, yeah, he's saying how it's going to be different, but like, not that different. Don't worry, guys. If you come spend your money. You know, don't review bomb it because it doesn't say directed by Zack Snyder. I don't know.
Man. And even that Photoshop that I sent you guys where it was the more traditional Superman, I didn't even notice this until just now looking at the images. The Photoshopped version, they Photoshopped a smile on his face. Mm-hmm. And even that makes the tone completely different. Like the one that we get, he looks like he's upset. He looks like he's fed up. He's mad. The Photoshopped image is like, this is happy. Like, this is the comic book Superman that I'm used to. He's happy to be alive. He's happy to have this job. So yeah, just those, even those small details in there makes you feel a certain way. So is that intentional? Did the marketing department say, we want you to feel this way? And if so, why do you want us to feel this way?
Yeah. You know, I had not considered the marketing department as kind of the overseer of this, but that makes far more sense than because everything that we've had leading up to this exact moment of the first photo is okay. It's All-Star Superman. It's Man for All Seasons. It's a man of hope and optimism. And, you know, and what do you do with that feeling when you're kind of irrelevant or people feel you are and all this stuff. That's what they've talked about the Superman being. And so the conversation doesn't match this photo, not taken by James Gunn, taken by somebody else. Also worth noting. And so I think it is trying to have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean the movie will be like that, which is the most important part.
Right. That's the most important thing. While this isn't a Photoshopped image in that, you know, it's a real photo, there is still some, like, you know, color correction going on and that kind of stuff. And that could account for some of what we're seeing, too, right? The lighting could be changed in post. Like, a lot of things can be changed in post to tweak it and make it look how the marketing department wants it to look. So that's always something to leave. You know, that's always possible. We've seen countless times, right, where a movie is marketed as one thing, but when you see it, it's something completely different, right, or almost completely different. Because they think, well, I can sell it better if it's a movie that looks like this. It's easier to sell this movie than the movie we actually made. So there could be some of that going on where someone thinks maybe it's an easier sell if we make it look darker, grittier, whatever. It's just hard to... So that's why I'm still remaining somewhat cautiously optimistic, because you just don't know. It's too early to say. We just don't know. And so one image is not enough to... I do think it was probably a poor judgment to choose this image and this pose and this facial expression and all that stuff. I agree. But I'm not quite so worried about the movie itself yet until I see more.
That's a good rule of thumb, too. I remember when Heath Ledger's first photo as the Joker was released, and it was just an extreme close-up of his face and nothing else. And then people were like, this is going to be terrible. How awful. This is going to be, this is going to be the worst. And it was the best from sea to shining sea. So I'm with you. I'm with you. I think I needed you guys to overcome some old habits, I think.
Well, even on the flip side of that, think about Zack Snyder's first image of Batfleck, which I just looked it up, came out in May of 2014. And that image, to me, was amazing. Like, the first image of of huge Batman with the Dark Knight Returns bat on his chest, the Batmobile in the bag, monochrome, black and white. That was a good image, and I got to give credit to Zack Snyder. I think his movies are not the most they don't have as many layers to the onions as I would like, but he is a good visual storyteller. He's a good visual. Like, I wish he would just be a cinematographer and not try to be a director. The way that he framed that shot, the way that it looks, that is what I would like out of my first images of a suit. And it, that got me more excited for the movie. But then the movie turned out to be not that great. So that's the flip side of what Tim's saying. It's like,
yeah,
this is a great image. The movie was not that great.
Yeah. And, but, you know, I think to your point with the Batman v Superman image, like of Batflick, is that, you know, like you're talking about the one with the Batmobile behind him, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, but that, like, that's a good tone for Batman.
Yes.
You know, it fits the character.
Right.
This doesn't fit the character that they're saying. Yeah. I was thinking about this one also in relation to Zack Snyder releasing the first promotional still of Wonder Woman. And that, remember, that was like, she was like on a, like a lava, like volcano, and there was like an eruption, and like her suit looked bronze and brown.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was at Comic-Con. Look it up, the first promotional still of Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. And I remember people looking at it and being like, what'd you do to her costume? Like, why is it all one color? Like, she looks silly. And then the movie came out, and you're like, she was the best part of the movie. Like, you know, she was easily one of the best parts of the movie. So, you know, I we know that a still is not the movie in of itself. I just, there's just so much, I guess, like, riding on this. That, like, I think that's, you know, as a fan, I think that's what it is. I will get over a costume that I don't love, the high collar, the whatever. I can get over those things. That's fine. If the movie's good.
Yes, you know? Exactly. Yep. I will look past all of it if the movie's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope it's good.
Right. I look past Willem Dafoe's Power Rangers Green Goblin outfit every time.
That's right.
Like, yep. You know, like, and I kind of like it now, you know, 30, you know, whatever, 20 something years later.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I just had a chance to go back and watch The Phantom Menace in the theater, and the costuming.
I did too.
Yeah. Oh.
I did too. Yeah.
Well, what did you think about the costuming, Tim, for Phantom Menace?
Great costuming. Like, there's some detail that you just don't see even on your screen in high def. Like, that you, like, a lot of, like, Queen Amidala's robes and, like, textures and hairstylings. And, like, there's just a lot of stuff you just don't catch. Like, it is really the last true, like, great Star Wars, like, blend before he went too far, like, way too far in the green screen direction. Mm. Like, but, like, you can, like, it is so tactile. You can really, really feel how wonderful.
I'll agree with that. I've been watching it in parts with my daughter over the last couple of days, because she can only stand it like 15 to 20 minutes at a time because she's 22 months old. But
you were doing Phantom Menace?
Yeah, Phantom Menace. Yeah.
Oh, fascinating.
I wanted to I don't know. I don't know why. I just did. but yeah, she's actually like kind of into it, because like there's enough color and movement and stuff that she's sort of like, okay, this is cool. But then after like 10 minutes, she's like, all right, cool. But Elmo now, right? Elmo? Yeah. I think you said Elmo, Dad.
There's also a lot of color and some movement in there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the lightsabers and stuff clashing like that. And she laughed at them chopping down battle droids. And I was like, oh, no. Ugh.
I mean, it is kind of funny. I mean, it's okay.
Roger, roger.
It's okay. I read the Golden Book of the Phantom Menace to my daughter the other day, because I came home from seeing Phantom Menace, and she says, "Where were you?" And I said, "I went to go see Star Wars at the movie theater." She's not been to a movie theater yet, so she only like knows about them in the legendary sense. And so she says, "Oh," and I said, "I saw the Phantom Menace. I did not see the like some of the ones that we watched. Would you like to read the Phantom Menace tonight when we do bedtime?" She says, "Yeah." So we're actually reading it, because mostly she's like, this isn't Star Wars. Where are Han, Luke, and Leia? like actual words from her mouth. And so like it got to Anakin as a child, and you know, like, oh, and Anakin meets Padme, blah blah blah, and she goes, I don't think that's Anakin, that's Luke. Like, no, it's Anakin. Yeah, she is all of us. Yeah, truly. She would look at this photo of Superman and be like, that's not Superman. I should actually show her this because she loves Superman. I should show her this photo. I would be curious because her number one question is like when she doesn't know what's happening. She's like, what's he doing? What's he gonna do? I don't know, baby. I just don't know. Listen, but anyway, this was a great conversation about Superman, the first promotional still. Where can the people locate Vactorverse?
Actually, any place you go, except for YouTube, it's Vactorverse. Twitter, Vactorverse, Instagram, Vactorverse. But on YouTube, I have split off. I have skewed off into a tangent. I have the alternate 1985. I have my comic book channel, which is called This Comic Cooks. And we're going to be having Frank and Tim on there shortly. And then I have my Star Wars channel, which is called Trust in the Force. So either one of those, if you search. Pro tip, I found out just if you search those things on YouTube, you will get a ton of things that are not me. But if you search for at Trust in the Force or at This Comic Cooks, it takes you right to me. So that's my hot tip.
Excellent. Great hot tip. Frank, where can the people find us?
BeerWithGeeks.com. You can find us in any podcast app. Rate and review us, please. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/thoughtbubbleaudio. And help us keep making these shows, these here casting of pods with friends like Vactor.
Excellent. Yeah. Vactor, thanks for coming on and talking to us. We'll have you back on again soon. But until next time, cheers.
Cheers.